Amen. As he comes and preaches the word this morning, Brother Schmidt.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Get used to this wireless, cordless thing. I'm used to holding something in my hands, so you see me putting my hands in my pockets, I'm sorry, or making all kinds of weird gestures. I'm used to this, but this is good. This is good. Brother Schumacher warned me that this mic has a spirit of wandering, so maybe I'll get out of the pulpit a little bit. I just want to say what a great privilege and honor it is to be here today, especially to be able to be behind this pulpit. I esteem that just very highly. Pastor and Sister Schumacher, Pastor and Sister Portman, appreciate you both so very much. You're good friends, mentors, and a blessing to our district. So thank you. Thank you very, very much for allowing us to be here. Amen. And I know a lot has been said about yesterday morning, and we appreciate that opportunity, and it was great to meet everybody that was able to attend, and that's just been a blessing to my wife and I as well, to be able to minister in that way and learn so much. Every time you do any type of thing repetitively, you learn more and more about it. Amen. So we're grateful to be able to be here yesterday, had a great time, and just very, very much blessed, so thank you very much. I also want to give honor to my wife, and I appreciate her being here with me today. Amen. She is my greatest asset, so I'm glad that she is here today with me. I know she wasn't able to be here last time. I'm also very thankful for a wonderful ministry team at home that can hopefully trust that everything is going all right today. So, and also just one more thing, I want to give honor to my pastor, who I would not be who I am today without him. So, amen. That's Brother Putnam, in case you didn't know that. So, great man of God. What an awesome presence of God that's been in this place already today. Amen. God is so good. And through the worship and the praise and everything that we've experienced already, it's just very encouraging to know that Jesus Christ is here in this place today. He responds when we worship. He showed up. We heard awesome testimonies of what God is already doing in your assembly, in your congregation, in your ministries. And we heard testimonies and promotions of things that God's going to continue to do. God is so good. But amen, amen. We can give God some glory and honor and praise today. I'm thankful for Jesus. Amen. But I want to caution all of us, because I know sometimes I came into church when I was 20, and so I know what it's like coming into something that you're not always familiar with. But I want to encourage somebody today that please don't take this for granted. There has been hours of prayer. There has been people that have fasted and studied and practiced and prepared so that we can come in and enjoy and receive something from Jesus today. And I want to tell you that God is in this place. And when Jesus is here, anything is possible. Amen. It doesn't matter what you need. It doesn't matter what your struggle, what your mountain is. God is able to take that and to bless you today. So I just want to encourage somebody today that Jesus is in this place. And this is a church that cares about you, that loves you, because they've invested so much of themselves and what God has blessed them with so that we could receive something from him today. Amen. Amen. If you turn with me, and I apologize to the sound guys. I did not give them my text this morning, but I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 25. And Paul's writing to us, he says, and he had already made a statement, and so he's following up with this statement. He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Can we just lift up our voice again today and just thank God for what he's already done and what he is continuing to do in this place. Father, you're so good, Jesus, to give us so many blessings, God. And we are very undeserving, God, because we fall short in so many ways. But God, you're merciful and you're gracious, God. You understand us, God, and you desire that relationship that we have the opportunity to have with you, to grow and to flourish and to bring us into a greater light, a greater understanding, God, a better connection with you, God, so that we can be about your business. And Lord, truly, God, so that we can live with you forever and eternity. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for all that you do, for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we clap our hands to him again today before we're seated? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord this morning, my title is that I want to preach about, that I want to talk about and share with you, is A Revelation of Simple. How we need a revelation sometimes of simple. And I realize that those words together might seem contradictory. It might seem, well, if it's simple, why do I need a revelation? But sometimes we do. Sometimes we need a better understanding. We need it revealed to us. Some things that are simple sometimes. Because I know, just through years of sitting through ministry and training classes and sitting through seminars and camps and conventions, I know that when you get behind the pulpit or when you get behind the desk or behind your table at home and you're preaching to somebody or you're teaching a Bible study, especially for those that are involved in that, there is a desire for revelation. Amen? There's a desire there that says, God, can you just give me something to give to them that's just going to blow their mind? That they're going to, you know, we've been to camp meetings and we've heard awesome evangelists. And you know, I'm sure that even here in this assembly that you get that very, very often. Monroe doesn't get that very often. They get simple. But we need that. We desire that. We want that revelation. We want that understanding. I can remember one time when I was working a secular job at a trucking company, and the radio was already on, and a guy was preaching, and he said something that I thought was, well, that's kind of profound. That's very, very interesting. And just as I was getting to drive this truck around to the back of the building, I was like, God, can you sometime give me just something that's for me that I didn't hear somebody, but that, God, I just know it was from you. And I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And immediately he put something into my mind and some understanding and brought scriptures to it. And I was like, wow, God, that is incredible. Because we desire those things, don't we? And in fact, even I've heard others say, and I've even guiltily said it myself, that when I hear an awesome message or a thought, my wife, she's teaches sometimes in our church, and she comes across these things. I'm like, where did you read that? And she's like, it's in your Bible. And I'm like, what? I've never heard that before. I've never read it. And she did a study on the tabernacle and some other things that I am bound by a secret oath to keep until she gets to preach it or teach it. But she just comes across with these things. I'm like, where did you get that? I want something like that. And we realize, you know, after we say, you know, it's from God. You know, and God is good, and he doesn't really esteem somebody else higher than another. It's just that sometimes God gives us things. And we want that. We want a revelation. We enjoy hearing messages from that anointed man of God or woman of God or evangelist that brings us a new and deeper understanding in the Word of God. It's exciting when the veil of our understanding is lifted in a matter or a topic, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy that. I really do like that. And it's important and it's needful. It's very important that we gain that deeper understanding of God's word. You know, the Bible is just full of scriptures that encourage us. You know, don't just sit at a superficial level, but get in deep with God. Amen. So I'm not contradicting that today, but please just bear with me just for a little bit. Because I know sometimes we think, well, if it's simple, can it really be that good? You know, can it really be that good if it's just simple, you know? And we talked a little bit about different personalities and temperance yesterday. So those that were in that class may appreciate this a little bit more, but I think all of us will understand it, you know, because there's some of us, just because of who we are and what's important to us, we really value different things about people and about ourselves. And so, well, so if we really value relationships and things like that, and that connection with people, can something simple, you know, isn't it more important for a person's soul or for their well-being that it's not just simple, that you really focus? And yes, it is, but also, you know, when Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was not quite as tall as everybody else, and he wanted to see Jesus. So, you know, he went and he climbed up the tree, and Jesus stopped when he came under it, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today I need to have dinner at your house. And today salvation has come to your house." Don't tell me Jesus didn't care about this man. Don't tell me that Jesus didn't want a relationship or a connection and be able to spend time and talk with this man. And it was so simple. Just, "Zacchaeus, come down." It wasn't complicated. He didn't have to, you know, have some great answer or answer a trivia question or be somebody who he wasn't. It was just, "Come down, because today I'm coming to your house." And so it was very, very simple. Maybe we think that, well, there's things that have got to be in line, and there's structure that has to take place, and things have got to be done in a certain way. It's too complicated to be simple. Well, when Jesus had about 15 or 20,000 people sitting in front of him that had an empty belly but had come and listened to him preach and speak the word of God, he said, basically, "Make him sit down, but this can't just be chaotic. Just have him sit down in groups of 50s, you know, and you take this lunch and break it and bless it." And he fed them all. Pretty simple. But there had to be structure. There had to be some order in place, right? And so we can appreciate those things. Maybe we think, you know, well, there's much more involved than that, you know. But when Jesus got up in that boat and the disciples were with him, and they were, you know, "Master, you're sleeping and we're about to capsize. We're about to tip over," you know. I'm not a meteorologist, but I know that barometric pressure and wind speed and you know, the fronts moving in and moving out. Okay, I really don't know. I'm just reciting things I've heard. But if I were a meteorologist, I would know. And it's very, very detailed. But Jesus just stood up and said, "Peace. Be still." And the calm happened, and the winds and the waves slowed down, and they were amazed. Or maybe we need something to be, you know, we heard about some exciting things yesterday, didn't we? Amen. There are some people that were really excited to share some things yesterday, and we need excitement. So excitement, you know, it takes something that's got to be powerful and it's got to be awesome, but it can be something as simple as, "Jesus, if it's you, amen, then call me to come to you on the water." And so it's something as simple as just stepping outside of the boat. So I want to encourage somebody today that, yes, it is important that we study to show ourselves approved. It is important that we get into that relationship with God and spend time with God. But it isn't something that's so far out of reach that you can't comprehend. Great is the mystery of godliness. I understand that. But we have a God who loves us and a God who cares about us and a God that wants that relationship that he's making available to each and every one of us. Amen. In Acts 17 and 19, we see a little example of people wanting that revelation and that hunger for something deeper. And it says they took Paul, they took him and they brought him to the Areopagus, and they said, "We want to know what this new doctrine is that you're speaking about." And he says, "Because you're bringing certain strange things to our ears. We've not heard things like this before, and we want to know what these things mean. I don't understand what you're talking about, and we don't know you very well." But it says, "For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Amen. They wanted that revelation, but I want to tell somebody today that God has a revelation for you. God wants to show you how close He is. God wants to show you how real He is and how powerful He can be in your life. Amen. Ecclesiastes 1 and 8 says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and the thing which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Right. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which was before us. So that really tells me that when God gives me that, and I say, God, can you give me something just for me, and something powerful and something incredible that I've never heard before, and He shares that with me, I'm like, yes, now I can preach it. And people are going to go, wow, that is awesome. Where did you get that from? And God's saying, man, that is so old. I preached that a long time ago. But God's not like that, is He? God's a good father. God's a good parent. And I know that as parents, we need to work on things, and I need to work on this. My wife helps me work on this a lot, and I need help on it, because sometimes my kids will say something, and because maybe it's, I heard it a lot as a kid, but you ever said, well, you think I just fell off the turnip truck? You think that's new? I mean, we did that back when, you know, we were kids. You know, that's older than dirt, you know. But when our kids come up to us, what we need to say is, man, that is awesome. How did you discover that? We could have known about it for a long time. But they need that. And God understands that we need that. Why? Because it increases our faith. So when God gives us revelation of something, it's to increase our faith and draw us closer to Him in that relationship, says, now I know I can trust you, God. Now I know that I can go a little bit farther in you, because He is a good father. So He doesn't say, yeah, I know, Chris, you know, you studied that out, you did a good job, you found it, but it's been in there the whole time. I wrote that a long time ago, and you're just now finding it. He doesn't say that to me. He says, that's awesome. And then He gives me other things to add to it and to bless me. And God is good, so good that way. So I do believe there are the times when we are in need of that revelation of deeper things of God. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And that word vision just means a revelation. We need an understanding. We need it revealed to us. But sometimes I also think, at least for myself, I overcomplicate things in life. I make it a little bit harder than it needs to be many times. Many times I do that. And you know what? This world, the enemy would love to overcomplicate our lives. And he would love to, that when we hear that message, or when God begins to deal with us about something, or somebody's ministering and discipling us, he wants us to get that complication thought in our life, and to have our minds confused so that we don't really get anything out of it. He wants us to be confused. But the Bible says God's not the author of confusion. Amen. But this world struggles with that. And so we just need to bring that light of Jesus to people, don't we? We need just to bring that illumination of, you know, it's as simple as just flicking on a light switch. I'm not saying that God isn't deep or that He's not powerful, and I'm not trying to oversimplify God, but also we don't want to overcomplicate it so that people feel, well, I could never get there. I could never get to that point where you're at in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that if we were to, go out into the world and we were to just ask people, maybe take a survey and just talk to some people that maybe don't know God, maybe they don't agree with us and everything that we teach and everything that we believe, but we could ask them and say, you know, are you concerned about the way some young people seem to be going today? You know, you see a lot of young people in juvenile detention, or you hear stories in schools of things going on in schools and kids, you know, being taken out, or they're having trouble controlling them. And do you think this is an issue? I would think that people would say, yeah, we need something better. We need to help our kids, right? We need our kids to be protected. We want our kids to be safe. We want them to be edified and lifted up and feel like they can receive something while they're going to school. We would say that, wouldn't we? And we would probably say that we think that people need to value life. We hear all the time, and I'm sure, you know, the closer you get to a big city or where there's higher population, you know, you sometimes see more crime, and we hear of people's lives being lost. We've heard of so many terrible shootings across our country in the past few years. It's just been mind-boggling. And so we'd say, there needs to be a value to life. And they would agree with that. Wouldn't we think that most people would agree with that? Amen. Or we would say that... I tell you what, if I've got somebody special to me, and I do, I love her very, very much, and if somebody else is trying to, you know, come up alongside of her, I'm not going to stand for that. Amen. At all. He might be pretty big, I might walk away pretty bloody, but, you know, I'm not going to stand for it because it's my wife. Amen. And I wouldn't want somebody, and I'm sure she wouldn't want somebody, you know, coming and putting the moves on me. Amen. She don't have to worry about that, but she wouldn't like it. So we would say that we value those things, wouldn't we? Or maybe, you know, our possessions even. We don't want our homes or our vehicles to be vandalized or taken away from us. So, you know, and even to the point where we don't like people wanting our stuff. And most people would agree with those things. But they don't realize where they're found in the Word of God. Those are the last six commandments. Those are the last six of the Ten Commandments. But yet they want to take away the first four. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want a relationship with God. You can worship any God you want. Idols are fine. You can worship any way you want. You can believe whatever you want. You know, Christianity is just a bothersome, and it's a burden, and it's judgmental, and it's hateful, and they'll tell any kind of lie, or you can, you know, use God's name any way you want, and they don't believe in those things. But what we fail to realize is that we're not going to keep those last six if we don't have the first four. Amen. We've got to have that first four down strong of that relationship with Jesus Christ if I'm going to keep my relationship with somebody else. Right. Amen. Amen. It's not complicated. Amen. It's pretty simple. In fact, Jesus very much showed us when he spoke to the young ruler, and the young ruler came and said, "Master, which is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great command." The young ruler was talking about all 10. Maybe he was talking about all 613. I don't know. But he was saying, which is the greatest commandment of all the law of God? Which is the greatest? And he says, that's the greatest. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because all the law and the prophets are wrapped up in these two. Right. Jesus said, you're getting your head too much into this, young man. There's just two you really got to worry about. If you love God, your relationship with everybody else will be fine. Right. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Complication and confusion comes when we get things out of order. And like I said, God is not the author of confusion. So to me, it's kind of just like a little mathematical equation. Truth equals simple. Lie equals confusion, difficulty. Amen. Now, simple doesn't mean easy. And there's sometimes when I read things and you know, at church I do the sign outside at church, and I would love to have a sign where I could do it from inside the building, but I get to get out a ladder and I get to go out, and I don't mind necessarily doing that. It's coming up with the things. What am I going to put on the sign? I've got so many characters in each row, and what am I going to put on there? So I'll look up different quotes and different sayings, and sometimes I find some that I really like, and they're so simple. But they're just not easy. And one of my favorites is from one of our prior presidents. It was Ronald Reagan. And he said, there's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed with what's right in America. Isn't that so true? And so simple? But it's not easy sometimes to fix things, is it? Sometimes we get kind of far away in our life and our walk with God, and we think it's such a hard road back, but God's saying, you know, it's really not that hard, because it just takes this. If you can do that, you can make it. Another great one is a little less realistic and a little more humorous, but now growing up, I did not watch this program or this cartoon because I didn't want to get beat up. But Winnie the Pooh has some of the greatest quotes you'll ever read. He says, I usually get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. You want to get to somewhere in God? Walk away from where you've been. Amen. And I'm not talking about where you've been in your relationship with God, but where we've been in our relationship with things of the world. Because God is good. It's just getting a little bit closer to God. It's just putting one foot in front of the other. Just another step. Just another day. Just another time getting to prayer. Another time saying, I'm going to read my Bible. Another time saying, I'm not going to miss service tonight. I'm not going to allow something else to come in front of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We've been commissioned to love God and to love people. And once we learn to love Jesus, the greater we fall in love with him, the more and more we'll love and value what he does. Amen. Amen. God is good. And the more time we spend in his word, the more time we spend in prayer, the more we're going to become like him and the more people are going to see him in us. And so then it becomes so much easier to do what he's called us to do. I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I want to share his message of new life, and I want to share what God has done in my life, because I'm telling you, you know, Brother Portman was so very complimentary of us, but you know, that's all by the grace of God, and it wasn't even all true. Well, maybe what he experienced was true, but I know me, and I know what goes on in my home, and I know my struggles and my frustrations, and you know, that 9-year-old turned into a 14-year-old, so things have changed a little bit. He's a great kid. A great kid. He's a very good boy. And I love him very much. And with all of our kids. But we have challenges, don't we? We do. But God wants to help us with those things. Whether it's parenting, whether it's our job, whether it's our finances. Every answer that we need in life, we can find in this book. Amen. We can. And sometimes it's not quite as simple or as easy as we like it, but thank God he gives us men and women of God in our life that can help us, teachers and Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers and ministry workers and all these people that God has brought together. Why? Just for us. Because he saw us, like Brother Portman said, he works in the long game. He saw us long before we ever made a decision to even decide to want to search out for God. And he began putting people together that would connect with us, that would love us and help us and minister to us. You're in a good place today. Amen. If you are in the church or within a stone's throw of the church, you're in a good place because you're getting closer and closer into what God wants us to be. But sometimes we overcomplicate it. I want to win souls. I want to teach Bible studies, but sometimes I think, how can I do that? How can I reach somebody? How can I get that door opened? And what am I going to teach them? You know, I've taught Bible studies before, and it usually goes pretty good, but have you ever been to that point before where it's like, how am I going to get a new Bible study? Who am I going to teach next? Or why haven't I found somebody? We what am I going to tell them? And do they really want to hear what I have to say anyway? And we begin to overcomplicate it. I find Paul's success in reaching people and building churches very exciting, and I find it very intimidating because he was so successful. And so when he preached to the Jews, what did he talk about? When you read the stories of Paul preaching to the Jews, or Peter on the day of Pentecost, or Stephen in Acts chapter 6, and they were preaching to Jews, what did they talk about? They talked about David and how, you know, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So the Lord said to my Lord, you know, and who's he talking about? And they talk about things as Jews and their customs and their culture and their history that they could relate to. In fact, the Bible says when Paul was being led away in Rome and he stood up on them steps and all the Jews were down there, that they shut up and they quit the arguing. The mob ceased when he spoke in their language. Because he began to relate to them on their level and began to speak to them of things that they valued, whether it was Moses and the law and the prophets or David and how they said, you know, Moses said, hey, there's going to be another one that comes and that ministers to you and so on. And they began to teach those lessons of old that they learned from a long time ago. That's how they preached Jesus to the Jews. But what about when they ministered to people that weren't Jews? What about when they ministered to people who had no idea who Moses was? It's interesting. Acts 14 and 14 says, Now, this just happened. Paul and Barnabas had just done some miracles. They just healed somebody through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and they were ministering to these people that were not Jews. And so these people came and they said, oh, these must be gods. We need to offer sacrifice to them. Let's have a party. Let's honor them and lift them up and let's do all these great things. And Paul and the apostles and Barnabas, when they heard of it, they ripped their clothes and they ran in among the people and they said, sirs, why are you doing this? We are also men of like passions like you are. We're the same. We're the same. So he began to get down on their level and begin to minister them and preach. They said, we preach to you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. You don't ever hear of Paul preaching to the Jews like that. You don't, because they understood that God in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, or in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and the waters were over the deep and darkness filled, and there was all these things, and God said, let there be light. They understood all that. He didn't have to preach to the Jews that way. But when he preached to the Gentiles, he said, all these things you see, you look at the stars in heaven and these constellations and you're trying to figure everything out. I want to talk to you about the God that created these stars. You worship the fish of the sea. I want to talk to you about the God that made those fish. Everything that's in it. He went on and he went a little farther in his conversation with them. He says, he suffered in times past all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness in that he did good. And listen, he gave us rain from heaven and a fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You don't ever hear him preach to the Jews that way. Why? Because it would have been something they wouldn't have understood. And with these sayings, scarcely, but they did. They restrained the people that they did not do sacrifice. Pretty simple message to people and something that they just needed to hear. He does it again in Acts 17 and 22. He stood in the middle of Mars Hill and he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. You have an idol here to an unknown God. He didn't begin to preach to them about the word says, you shall have no other gods before me, create no graven images, and look at all this, and God is not happy with you. He didn't talk about any of that. He said, this God that you're worshiping right him, I want to declare him to you because it says unknown, but I want to make him known to you. This God that you think is a God that you don't know anything about, I want to tell you about him. He didn't begin to rip down their philosophies or their theology or their ideology. He didn't do any of that. He just began to share the love of Jesus with them and said, I want to declare something to you that you obviously have proclaimed yourself you don't know anything about. He says, I saw this and you ignorantly worship him. I want to declare it, that he made the world and all the things that are therein. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. This was foreign to them. He is made of one blood all nations. Before that, he said, he giveth all life and breath and all things. He goes on in verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. Certain of your own poets even have said, for we are his offspring. And we not ought to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. He says, in times of past, this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands every man everywhere to repent. What did he do? He didn't get all deep. He didn't, you know, the Bible says when Paul talked of himself, he says, I was a student of students. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a student of Gamaliel. I was, you know, of all things, I have confidence in those things, but I count that all loss, that I may know Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What did he do? He ministered to their values. He spent time with people. He listened to them, and he invested in them. See, we say, we use this saying that people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care, right? Can I add this to that? That we won't know what we need to know to impress people until we care enough to know them as an individual. Living for Jesus, it's not really all that complicated. It's fairly simple. Sometimes we just need a fresh revelation of that. Just read the book of Job. It's a long, painful book. But in the beginning, God saw something in Job, awesome, that he didn't see in anybody else. So he allowed Job to go through a trial. In the end, Job came through it. The whole middle is full of Job's friends complicating the whole situation. Well, what'd you do? How'd you displease God? And it's all there for a purpose. I realize that. But we do that sometimes. We complicate things. But God wants us to know how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. Amen. We desire righteousness, right? God's righteousness, not our righteousness. We desire righteousness. And I'll begin to close with this. My wife would come. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. Abraham was able to offer his only son, Isaac, the son of promise, only because of one thing. One thing. He loved the Lord. And this love relationship caused him to trust God with everything. When you read the story and you read the promise that God gave Abraham, everything of that promise was wrapped up in that boy. His future, the promise of nations, all nations of the world shall be blessed, promises to us were wrapped up in Abraham's son Isaac. All of it. Blessings, fruitfulness, anointing, relationship with God. It was all in that boy. The son of his old age. I mean, so now you got a father slash grandfather figure who loves that boy so much. And God says, take him to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. So they take the wood, they take the fire, they leave the servants. Says, the boy and I are going up here to worship. And I'm going to give everything I have to my God. I'm going to trust him with my future. I'm going to trust him with my past. I'm going to trust him with what's going on right now in my life. Because I know he's got all things in his hands. There's nothing too hard for God. If you got something complicated, just give that to God. Amen. Because for him, it's so very simple. So everything he had was wrapped up in that boy who is now tied up, laying on an altar, dry wood all around him, his father standing over him with a knife in one hand and a torch in the other. He's saying, all right, God, here it is. Everything I have. This isn't going to be easy, but it's pretty simple. I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. For the promise to come to pass, he had to trust God. A couple real simple scriptures. Micah 6 and 8, he has showed the old man what is good and what does the Lord require. It's not complicated. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct your paths. I want God to direct my path. Amen. Amen. First Peter 5 and 6. As we stand together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Yes, we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to mature and grow in Jesus Christ. This is not an excuse for ignorance. This is not an excuse for laziness. It's not just about the easy road. I just don't want to overcomplicate what living for him really means. I want to be in his presence. Because the Bible says in his presence there's fullness of joy. It also says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want strength, so I need his joy. I want his joy, so I've got to be in his presence. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So if I want to be in God's presence, it's not that difficult. We experienced it already. We're experiencing it right now. If I want to be in his presence, I just got to praise him. Amen. It doesn't say thank him for only the good things. It says praise him. Amen. Worship him for who he is. Amen. For what he's able to do. Well, everything hasn't been all that great. That's okay. Amen. That doesn't change who God is. I want to be a witness for him. I want to teach people and reach people, but I don't know how to do it. Well, the Bible says open your mouth and he'll fill it. You can't talk to somebody about Jesus if you don't talk to somebody. I have a small, not even part-time job. I deliver salt for a water softener company. I meet all kinds of wonderful people. The other day I met Hetty, who is in her 80s, and her husband's deceased. She has no children. A niece that was very close to her was murdered, and another niece that was very close to her died of cancer. Had the opportunity just to share a little bit about how God was using me or what God was doing in my life, my relationship with God and my other job. And she says, you know, in all the years I've lived here, for the past 5 years or however long, she hasn't been able to get around well. She said, I've never had a pastor been willing to come to my house. I said, would you like that? My wife and I would be love to come over here and sit and talk with you. And she was so complimentary. She didn't know how much she blessed me that day because, you know, I realized that just carrying around a 50-pound bag of salt isn't really what God called me to do. But if I can do what he called me to do while I'm doing that. I want to receive what he has for me. I want to receive everything he has for me. Oh, it's so hard. It's so complicated. My life's a mess and all these things going on in my mind and all these situations that I'm already involved in. I don't know how, you know, maybe I have an unbelieving family. Maybe I've already got involved in these things in my life. Maybe I've got addictions or struggles that God's not pleased with. It's so difficult. It's so complicated. There's so much. But I want to receive something from God. Well, it's as simple as receiving it. Because he has it for you. And he has it for me. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Is God happy with it all? No, I know he's not happy with everything I've done and everywhere I've been. But if I decide to make a step towards him, I know he's happy with that. And I know that he can do something in my life that nobody else can do. And so I invite us today, if we could just come together and say, God, I want what you have for me today. God, I want to receive everything you want from me. God, I want to learn to trust you. God, I want to turn my life over to you. God, some things that I've been holding back, God, I want to put into your hands. Some things, God, I haven't completely trusted you with yet. God, I want to take that next step. Some answers I've been looking for, God, I want to seek them today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.